It is such a great joy to be back here in the church in Hook after all these years, and we give thanks to God for this link that we have throughout the years in prayer as well. So for me, it is a privilege that you have invited me to bring God's words as well, apart from the report on the work of the gospel in Spain. So I also take this opportunity to bring the greetings of the church in Alcázar de San Juan, central Spain, south of Madrid, to all of you. I encourage you to continue to pray for the work of the gospel there in Spain and indeed for all Europe. Let us continue in this ministry of prayer for each other. Now, the words to which I want you to look with me tonight are to be found in Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 50. It has been read to us, and it is particularly verse 10, although we are going to take account of what we have read in the chapter as well. And this is what it says in verse 10. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. I would like to address with you the reality of Christians walking in darkness and with no light. This is going to be our subject tonight. The reality or the fact that as Christian people, we face sometimes, indeed, can be all our Christian life, we walk in darkness and have no light. And this is a reality we all have to face as Christian people. And I want to do it straight away from this passage that we have just read, this Isaiah 50, and particularly from these words in verse 10. I want to do it because there is wonderful encouragement for us if we find ourselves in that situation in this passage for us tonight. And I want to do it from Isaiah because Isaiah is such a wonderful book of the Bible. And this verse in particular and the connections we are going to see have something very relevant to say to us in our walking in darkness or without no light. Are you walking in darkness? Do you feel there is no light in your life? You see, as Christian people, we do also experience the reality of a fallen world. We are part of a fallen world, and therefore we experience the hardships of the rest of humanity. But on top of that, we also experience the reality of suffering for the sake of the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We know that in some parts of the world, that is even worse than for us in Europe. But that is also the reality. Do we find ourselves in circumstances of suffering? Do we find ourselves that we are called upon to suffer as Christian people? Therefore, we have here an encouragement from God's word to persevere in whatever he has put ourselves in his providence. And Isaiah, let us look at Isaiah and what he's bringing to us. Isaiah, as you, some of you may know, was a prophet from 1740 BC to 6081 BC. His writings are the most extensive prophetic record in the Bible. Isaiah means salvation is from the Lord. Isaiah is messianic through and through. That is to say, it contains prophecies about Christ, images of Jesus Christ himself. Who wants a carved image instead of the word images of the Lord Jesus Christ that are to be found in Isaiah. There's no comparison. And it's the most quoted prophetic book in the New Testament. As the Gospels deal with Jesus Christ, so does Isaiah, announcing beforehand his coming and the glory of his person and his work. Indeed, some people have said Isaiah is the fifth gospel. I agree with that. The more I read Isaiah, the more I realize this is like another gospel. When we read some of the passages there, we say, well, this is the gospel. This is a narrative gospel of the events surrounding the death of our Lord. That is a wonderful book. And this book is coming to us, particularly to teach us about the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And it brings quite a number of portraits, word portraits, of the person and the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Among those, I particularly like what is called the Songs of the Servant of the Lord. The Songs. Songs of the Servant of the Lord. None other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And there are four of those songs in this book of Isaiah. Chapter 42 from verse 1 to 4. 49, 1, 6, 50, 4, 9. And this is the song in which we have our text as the context. And finally, the most well-known of those, 52 from 13 to 53, 12. And they teach us about the person of the Lord and his willingness to suffer in glad obedience to the will of his Father. There are no signs of weaknesses or resignation in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a glad obedience and a strength that comes from God himself. And the words that we are going to look at tonight have this context. The context of these words is the song of the servant of the Lord. It is the servant of the Lord that is coming to do God's will, and that is his song. And as an encouragement for us, he brings this word that is to be found in verse 10. The words of our text come right after the third servant of the Lord. You see, this is telling us something very important. Our sufferings, our afflictions, our walking in darkness without light has to be seen in the relation with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That is the way to approach our own problems and difficulties, in the light of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we see who he is and what he has done for us, and for Isaiah, what he was going to come to earth to do, then we are to face the reality of anything that may come in our way. That is the true perspective. To see things as from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And therefore, what we find in the verse has to do with us in relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And first of all, what we have here is, in this verse, a description of the people of God. How they do look like. How do you identify Christian people? This is what he's telling us here. By saying something, how do we identify them? We ask the text, how do we know these are God's people? And he says, who among you fears the Lord and obeys the word, the voice of his servant? A description of the people of God, those who obey the word, the voice
of Jesus Christ. Who is a Christian? Somebody that will listen to the Lord Jesus Christ. My sheep will hear my voice and will follow me. But he says here, first of all, who among you fears the Lord? The fear of God is a permanent feature of God's people in the Old Testament. Okay, we find some references to the fear of God also in the New Testament, but it is particularly so in the Old Testament. The Lord Jesus Christ himself is portrayed here in Isaiah as someone who has a very special relationship with this reality that is described in this expression, the fear of the Lord. And this is what we find in chapter 11 and verses 2 and 3. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. This is our Lord Jesus Christ himself. And his own people are known by this fear of the Lord. This fear of the Lord comes down to be obedience to the voice of Jesus Christ himself. This is a subject that I always found very fascinating, the fear of the Lord. And it was only recently I was reading a book by the pastor from Manhattan, the pastor from New York, Tim Keller. And he makes this very interesting connection between the fear of the Lord that is mentioned in the Old Testament and that seems to be disappearing in the New Testament. And he says, in the New Testament, it is being filled with the Spirit. More or less this equivalent, he says. Well, that's an amazing thought, I think. But I think he's right. I think he's right because the fear of the Lord in the Old Testament has to do with what we were hearing this morning. It is a reality, an internal, a spiritual experience of God himself. It's not dread. It can be dread of God for those who are ungodly and outside of the church. But the Christian man has a relationship with Christ that has to do with an inner experience, an inner reality. It's not external. It's something to do with our souls. Deep within ourselves, we are Christian people, we feel for the Lord. And in the New Testament, he is suggesting to us, it has to do with being filled with the Spirit. That is true Christianity. It's not external. It's not a religion. It's not something that we do outwardly. We do things outwardly, but the main thing is the state of our hearts. What do you think of Christ? Do you believe in Christ? Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? So this is how it is coming to us. Who among you fears the Lord? Who has that special inner spiritual relationship with God? Are you filled with the Spirit? Is the evidence of being Christ's people. What do you know of that? Notice, it is put in the form of a question. Who among you fears the Lord? And he says, who obeys the voice, the word of his servant? If we hear the Lord Jesus Christ, if we listen to his word, if we take heed to his word, then we are God's own people. How did you go about the voice of Jesus Christ? Where do we find that voice? Only in the Bible. You want to hear the Lord Jesus Christ? Go to the riches of his word. And there it is the voice. And the Holy Spirit brings that voice with power and changes and transforms our lives. It's so powerful. The gospel portrays this so often. Matthew, sitting as his business. That's all his life. Intent on that.
follow me. And he left all and followed the Lord. Or the fishermen, Peter, John, brethren, they left all and followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you heard the voice of Jesus? That is the most important question in your life. Have you heard the voice of Christ? It's a powerful voice that has brought you to see that life has to do with Him and Him alone. To leave all your sins behind, such is the power of His calling, and to trust in Him alone for salvation. Do you know something of that? That is a description of the people of God. But notice, we are saying that we are looking at this in the context of this song of the servant of the Lord. We are talking about this voice, and somebody here may say to me, why should I listen to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why will I listen to the Lord Jesus Christ? And this is the answer. The Lord has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backwards. We hear his voice because there is no voice like his. He can speak a word of encouragement to the weary. Do you feel weary of life? There is a word of encouragement in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a word to be found in his own word for our own situation. Go to the word and realize the privilege that is given to us to be taught by the best of all teachers, the wisdom that comes from above, that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Is there a counselor better than himself? Is there a comfort better than the one that will be brought by Jesus Christ himself? Oh, what a wonderful privilege it is given to us to be God's own people, those that will listen to the word. So God's people are described here as those who listen to Christ. We are indeed happy because we have heard that voice. That is Christianity all about. But in the second place, here in this text, we are also told something else. It says here, who amongst you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. It says, people that walk in darkness and have no light. And this is the second heading. The state of the people of God. What is it? My friends, we are treated as Christ was. The state of God's people, we are to expect that what happened to Christ will happen to us according to his providence. This is what he's saying here. Because in this song of the servant of the Lord, we are told about the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Verse 6, I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. This is the reality of Christ himself. And a measure of that reality of rejection is to be found in ourselves. A measure of the suffering that is to be found in Christ will appear in us as Christian people. He says here, listen carefully, those that fear the Lord, those that hear the voice of the servant, those that are filled with the Spirit, are those that at the same time walk in darkness. There is no contradiction. And walk in the Bible means a common experience. It means that it's a course of life. It's not like, and we know how false that is, one of those Hollywood films that end with happy ending. Life, real life, is not like that. Sufferings of all kinds do happen and go on happening in our lives. There is an intensity of the experience of that, remarked by that walking in darkness and, putting it in another way by the prophet, has no light. Alzheimer's disease, getting worse and worse. What's happening? Long-term unemployment. How do you cancel? In my country, this is a pastoral issue. Long-term unemployment. How do you deal with that? Young people, no future. Spain, have to go. How do you deal with that? Walking in darkness. That is the reality. People who have given everything for the faith of Jesus Christ, yes, they find persecution and the loss of their goods in so many parts of the world right now. This is what the Bible tells us. And this is what we should expect to happen. We are going to be treated as Christ was. Why? Because he is a model for us. Christ is our Savior, but is also our mentor. This third song is concerned with the fury of the wickedness and lashed on our Lord. His sufferings, however, were unique. We cannot fully enter into those sufferings. After all, we are sinners. But the Lord has a pure soul. And the suffering of a pure soul, we just cannot fathom. We cannot. It's beyond ourselves to understand that. To bear our sins as he was. So his sufferings are redemptive. Ours are not. We are not saved by our sufferings, by his own sufferings on the cross. That is our hope. Yet there is a measure of fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ in his sufferings. As it happened to him, it will happen to us. That's how we are to see the problems that we face. I like how it is put by Paul in his epistles. Writing to Timothy, he talks about himself as, notice, the prisoner, how would you put it, of Nero? He says the prisoner of the Lord. That's very significant because it really means that he sees his being in prison as something that the Lord has planned for his life. His purpose he may not know, but it's something to do with the Lord. He's the prisoner of the Lord. Over above Nero, over above all our earthly powers, is the Lord. And his prison has to do with him. Do we see our problems as that? Oh, how awesome that is. The Lord is in control. We don't know for sure why we're walking in darkness. But the Lord knows. And he is in control. We have to look at the Lord Jesus Christ in all his sufferings. They thought, oh, the Lord has deserted him. God has deserted him.
But it was not like that. We know he was not deserted forever. He was bearing the weight of our sin for us. Yet even in those darkest of hours of the history of this world, he said, "My God, my God." That is what is happening. In the midst of all our difficulties, my God, my God. We trust in him. We accept the fact of the darkness. We live in those darkness because he has passed through those darkness himself. This is very important, my friend, to bear in mind. Because sometimes we hear people saying, "Oh, that is happening to you because you have not understood the word of God." Oh, we should understand more and more God's word. But that doesn't take away the darkness. It's better to grasp the Bible. We need to grasp more the Bible. We are here to encourage you to hear God's voice in Jesus Christ. But it's how to handle the darkness. How to handle ourselves in darkness. But the darkness does not go. It's not, as some others will say, that we have not got enough faith. Oh, it's not like that. Don't torture your soul. There is a lacking of faith in you. The Lord knows. That is not the problem. Oh, we need more faith. We want more faith. We need more faith. But my friend, it's not a lack of faith. He says here that that is the people of God, the state of the people of God. And to make it more clear, he makes the contrast. In verse 11, "Behold, all you who kindled a fire, who equip yourselves with burning torches, walk by the light of your fire and by the torches that you have kindled. This you have from my hand. You shall lie down in torment." What he's saying to us is that we should not, as Christian people, take shortcuts. It means that there may not be an immediate relief for our darkness, but will be a final one for us. We are not going to leave the Lord of his ways or obedience to his commandments because we are in darkness. We shall not do that. We shall not find other measures to relieve ourselves. We go on trusting in him and him alone for our lives. We need to look to the future. Always. I like very much how it is put by C.S. Lewis. He says, "No amount of faults will really undo us if we keep picking ourselves up each time. We shall, of course, be very muddy and tattered children by the time we reach home. But the bathrooms are all ready, the towels put out, and the clean clothes are in the airing cupboard. The only fatal thing is to lose one temper and give it up. It is when we notice the dirt that God is most present in us. It is the very sign of his presence." We go on. We have the encouragement of being as the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Isn't that wonderful that we are called to believe and to suffer such a small measure in comparison with the glory of eternity for him? Is there a privilege like that in this world? To be conformed to the image of Christ, even in temporary sufferings. We are treated as Christ was, under the providence of God. Finally, he says here, who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. Finally, a remedy for the people of God, the comforts of Christ himself. The comforts of Christ himself. Confidence is fundamental. The verse tells us, trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. But you see, the accent is in the name of the Lord, not in trust, our trust, or our reliance on his God, but in the name of the Lord. Let me put it like this with an example. When the child is crossing, even a zebra crossing, he feels secure because he's holding the hand of his father. Oh, I feel all right. He's holding my hand. I'm holding his hand. But you know, the reality is different. The security of the child lies in the fact that it's the father that is holding his hand. The strength of the father's hand is the main thing. So the main thing here, it is the name of Yahweh, the name of Jehovah. That name of God means his faithfulness to his own covenant people. It means more than that. It's such a rich name. It means his presence is always with us. When it is revealed in Exodus, what is the revelation there? When it comes to Moses, the message there is, tell my people that I am with them. I am what I am. In what sense? That I am always present with them. The only thing that they had in the darkness of Egypt was the name of God. What are you going to tell them? My name. I am with them. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Lo and behold, I am always with you until the end of the world. God is with us. Our confidence is in the name of the Lord. And is it not true, my friends, in our Christian life, when we go through darkness and difficulties, tempted maybe to despair, that the very thought of God calms our fears and gives us a new hope? Just to think of the richness of the revelation of what is to be found in the name of the Lord as it appears in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that is enough. How we need to think upon God, on God. Do we fill our minds with God? That is what we need. That's the most pressing need for us as Christian people. Hear the voice and fill yourself with the reality of the revelation of God himself in the Bible. And that will give you the strength and the encouragement to go on whatever is happening in your life. Or, as it is put in Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Oh, that is our tower. The name of the Lord. That is our glory. What is involved in that name? That is ours. Our confidence is in that name and all that is to be found in that name as it comes to us in Christ.
But this is so amazing what we find here. This is precisely what the servant of the Lord does. Let us read again verses 7 to 9. But the Lord God helps me. Therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Behold, all of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up. This is what Jesus Christ himself finds, that comfort, in that confidence in his Father, in what is happening in his life, has to do with the purposes of the Father. We never forget his human nature without sin. That profound confidence in his Father indwelt as he was with the Holy Spirit to be able to face everything that was going to happen to him in his life leading to Calvary. And you know, his comfort, the comfort he received, is our comfort now. It's our comfort now. When we are reading this passage, what has come to your mind? This passage is used in the New Testament, in that glorious chapter of the Bible, Romans chapter 8. Who is he, says Paul, who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? What sort of darkness will it do it? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is our comfort. The very comfort he got from his Father in his soul is now available for Christians by the Spirit. And that is what the Word is revealing to us. Oh, my friends, let us drink of those comforts. We know they are real. We do know they are real comforts. Why? Because they are based on the reality of his own person. As Paul put it here, he died. He is risen. He is at the right hand of God. He intercedes for us. So we know it is real. He is alive. We preach a risen Christ, an ascended Christ that comes to the church, that comes to save sinners, and comes to comfort his own afflicted ones with all the comfort that is to be found in his own life as he was on earth. All that comfort is offered to us as Christian people. So we relate ourselves to everything through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's given us that counselor, his own Holy Spirit, so that through his word we may be able to bear everything that will come in our way. When we feel the pull of this darkness, the absence of this light, then we can say, oh Lord Jesus Christ, come to my soul and fill me with the comforts that are yours, that you have promised to your people. Do we know something of that? Do we know something of those prayers? We know. We need to pray like that. Oh Lord, help us. Help us, because we do need. You know what we are going through. You only know, really, what we are going through. But because you do know, bring the comfort that is the proper comfort for my own situation. Are you the Lord's? Do you fear him? Do you take heed to his word? There is no word. There is no word like the Lord Jesus Christ. He has a word for the weary. Remember always that. Are you in darkness? He was in darkness. He went through darkness. He knows what is all about darkness and absence of light. Therefore, we can trust in him, in the riches of the comforts that he brings to his own people. Therefore, we rejoice that there is this word in God's word. There is darkness in this fallen world. Indeed, we feel it. There is absence of light. But there is a Christ that has brought light to this world. He is the light of the world. And he will shine on us his own comforts, even in this life. And then an eternity with him, with light, for all eternity, seeing his glory as the only begotten of the Father. That is our hope. Comes from our Savior and him alone. He may receive all the praise for all his person and work. Amen.